Well, hello and welcome to episode 12, a very spooky episode of Has Opinions Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Daniel.
And I'm Chris.
And each week we get together and share our opinions on stuff like being developers and also being tech dads and sometimes being kicked out of our house because it's not livable anymore. Chris, how is your week going?
I'm getting back into my house. I forget, we talked about my floor on the podcast before, I think, right?
Yeah, the Warp Tour came to town.
The Warp Tour. So we're just finishing getting full floor done. And of course, I'm sure I mentioned it, that it expanded into doing other floors that we wanted to get done.
Oh no,
you in addition to the kitchen that got fixed.
You had scope creep.
So not just the kitchen, but the kitchen, and it touches into the living room, and then our two small bathrooms all got new tile. And it looks great. It's done. We're not in yet, though. We are back in the house mostly tomorrow and definitely Friday, because that's when our Airbnb expires.
Nice, nice. But they did the work like less than the amount of time they said. And
they did, yep. And then there was some leftover stuff. They had to like replace some trim that they tore out to get to the floor that they needed to replace. So they were putting that back in and then putting in like the T-joints, they call it, where the wood floor, the old wood floor of other floors meets the new tile floor. Because there's a gap there and small stuff like that. So I just wrote him the last check today of the second half of the stuff for the payment.
That is a huge, I mean, I'm glad that it did not turn into the, you know, never ending nightmare of like, oh
yeah,
I'm fighting with this guy now, you know?
Right. Exactly. We found him through reviews and the reviews didn't lie. They were good. Apparently they did not pay for fake reviews.
Nice, that's good.
The work, I'm actually surprised. This is the first thing I've heard of where like the workmanship was actually like super good and they were responsive and all that kind of stuff.
The reviews weren't written in broken English and
exactly
talking about random stuff.
Right. It wasn't just a farm of people writing whatever with a 5-star review.
Is good floor maker man. Oh, that's good. That's good to hear. It's good to be back in your house and get back to your recording booth and recording closet.
This was fun. I spent half days at my home alone with just me, or maybe, you know, with people working in the house, but people working in the house don't run into your room and scream and need attention like your kid does. So it was fine. I got a lot of work done, actually.
That's awesome. Yeah, and if they do, that would be a whole other issue.
Right. Different issue.
That's awesome. Cool. So I have house news as well. Apparently, we made the decision this past weekend to build a house, which is something, you've been in Slack and we've talked about sort of, we've gone back and forth between, are we moving to Austin? Are we moving to New York? What are we doing? Like, we're in a place where we're renting and our lease is up in August. So my wife found she's been doing a lot of the research, so really just sort of filling me in on what she finds. But she found a neighborhood that's being built in a really great location. And so we started the contract, and yeah, we're going to the design center tomorrow and today. So that's why,
awesome.
That's why we're recording now, so I can get to the design center to pick out stuff.
So is that design center from the house company, or is this just like totally separate just to like do the interior?
No, it's part of the contract. So you have to go within, since we signed on Sunday, you have a certain number of days. You have to go pick out all the stuff and, you know, you could just say, just give it to me basic, you know, whatever is included and be done with it. But, there's some things that we want to, do like the flooring on the first floor and I think the cabinets. So those are the two large ticket items that we're going to have to choose. And everything. Amanda has this like giant punch list that she has to go through.
That they get. So it's like, is it like marble versus linoleum or whatever type
all that
things?
Stuff.
Like,
yeah,
but, yeah. Or granite. I mean, not marble. Yeah,
what do you think? How do you think has opinions about WPF is going crazy?
Not making that kind of revenue.
Bringing in the Scrooge McDuck money. No, but it's that kind of stuff. So they said slate 4 hours. Don't bring your kids.
Like, don't bring your kids.
Do some homework and research beforehand. And so so we got a babysitter coming tomorrow. We're going to head over there for that.
I think you're the right type of family to get that message and come prepared too, because I bet a lot of people come in there having done no prep work.
Well, it's funny, we were talking to the lady who the salesperson, right, at the neighborhood, and we told her like we didn't really want that many upgrades. The floor plan we wanted, and she was like, "Yeah, y'all."
She just laughed. Y'all seem laughed at you.
Well, she said, "Y'all seem pretty basic, actually." And then she paused as if she had offended us, and I said, "You know what? That's actually a compliment for me. Thank you."
Like that was a risky maneuver on her part.
It was, but like we were like, "That's no. We will take that and hold that near dear to our close to our hearts. Thank you. We are definitely basic. We are not. There's not a lot of fluff or things that we need. We just need a home that feels."
When you have the options presented to you, it's so hard to just be like, yes, I want this, I want it all. It's like buying a car. It's like, it's that same mental game, I think, where it's like, we did this when we were moving to Texas from Connecticut. We ended up in an apartment that I still regret getting. And it was less than our mortgage, but it was still comparable. And it had all the amenities and all this stuff. And we just never used it and did not care. The location was good in San Antonio. That's true. We didn't know enough to know that when we moved there. We kind of thought it might be, but that was lucky because we didn't know San Antonio enough. But like we used the pool twice. We lived there for 2 years and we lived with the pool downstairs of our building.
Oh,
like,
that's right.
So close.
The weekend you had all the townies, the noise from the townies coming up over the weekend.
Yeah. And I told you about people having sex in the pool super loud at like 2 a.m. before, I think, right?
That's news.
That was definitely a thing.
That's news. Wow. Did they list that? Was that on the amenities list?
It was not in the amenities list. It was so loud.
Well, it should be.
It went on for way longer than it should have.
You're just like, hey, the little blue pill says if it goes long, this long, call your doctor.
But the pool is central to three of the larger buildings. So their complex is like five or eight buildings or whatever. There had to have been so many people who woke up and were just like, what is going on?
Like, come on. Like, really? Really? Oh, that's terrible. Wow. Well, and now you're in a home.
Yes, the home is actually better for that.
for watching people have sex or hearing people have sex?
For the reduction of the number of times that I've had to hear that.
You got off the rails. Awesome. Okay.
What are you talking about? We're halfway into our podcast. It's already 15 minutes.
So all that to say that housing our families costs a lot of freaking money. When the Warped Tour comes to visit, or when you have to actually buy or build a home after your rental time is over.
I think this is interesting because we definitely did talk about home ownership being expensive. Like the hits kind of keep on coming. I think it's nice that you'll have a new house. So I think you'll have different issues instead of like old house issues, obviously. But there'll probably not be like repeat. I think you'll have a nice like few year grace period where like stuff is cool and kosher.
Yeah. So I've talked to you about this before. Like we're heading into this new phase of like our kids are elementary age. They're not babies and toddlers anymore. And we like in 2 years we'll have a teenager. So we're looking at this house as sort of a 10-year phase of we're going to grow up these kids through teenage years and then like launch them out into the world. And then so I've already told Amanda, like, I'm looking forward to selling this house in 10 years when the roof needs replacing and the water heater is almost out and stuff like that.
Yeah, I like it. That's a good plan.
So like we'll just pay for it now and then let somebody else be. I just got a text. I just got a text from our landlady who's like, "Hey, remember you talked to me last month about the water softener going out? Well, the owners are going to get a new water softener." So like I just got that text, which is quite funny.
Right. Too little, too late.
Yeah, no. No thanks.
Actually, is a water softener an update in this house that you're getting? Is that a thing?
They don't install them, but they will pre-plumb. So it was $538 for them to pre-plumb for a water softener. So we went ahead and got that.
Yeah, I think that'd be worth it, even if you don't get it, because the resale value will get helped there by people who may want to do it in the future.
Yeah. So, and I told Amanda we're going to the design center tomorrow and I'm going to be the person sitting back with arms crossed like no, just saying no over and over, and she's going to have to like bite me on stuff. But she has a very not a very extensive list of stuff she wants, so I think it'll go smoothly.
Good. Yeah.
So that sort of begs the question now, moving on to the topic of this podcast. How do we pay for all this? How do we pay for homes and living and all the fun stuff we want to do? So the answer to that is apps. What are we doing? What are we doing with apps?
Making apps, building apps. I don't know what we're doing.
Filling out applications. Yeah.
App applications.
You know, it's getting busy and getting serious when you see when you go buy a couple domains. So I've bought a couple domains over the last couple of days. And so we were talking in the pre-show, and I'm not sure I want to announce like the one of the domains that I bought, because it's sort of like crap, then it's out there, then I have to follow up, or you know put up or shut up type of thing.
Yeah, but that's healthy. You should probably do it.
Okay. So I think we started talking about this back in September with our friend Travis in Slack, and he's actually currently in the process of building a SaaS member score, I think it is, memberscore.io. Mm-hmm. And so he's been doing this for quite a while, but it is it's targeted toward membership sites. And he's building that, I think, himself, and then maybe with some contractors based in Laravel, that type of stuff. So me and him are in a Slack sub room where we can talk about, you know, SaaS type stuff, and I went in there and sort of expounded on, hey, you know, I sort of realized that I'm a WordPress developer. I've been in WordPress for now going on 8 years, and a lot of factors of there's a lot of drama around Gutenberg. What's the future of WordPress? Who's in control, if anybody? You know, do I want to be doing this for another 8 years? And when thinking through that, I decided, you know, I really need to diversify away from WordPress. Like I'm really happy with where my WooCommerce agency is at right now, and my plugin marketplace, but I want to diversify out. And so if I list the advantages that I have, you know, because you're talking about sort of, you know, some people are more privileged than others. Some of my two main advantages are I can code, and two, I can code in PHP and JavaScript. And so that really lends itself to picking up Laravel and learning Laravel, you know, in either Vue or React or something, front-end type stuff. But and then using that to build an app. And so that's the direction I think that this new phase is going to go into.
And it sounds like your work can, well, you already have contractors. So I was going to go say you could like self-fund contractors to build the app for you, but I think you're technically self-funding by having other people do the work for your main income source, right?
Yeah. So,
and then that gives you free time to work on the app, sounds like.
Correct. Yeah. Cause you know, I mean, I'm not a 25-year-old single guy or gal. You know, I have a family, have a business, have contractors, have stuff going on. So this is really going to be an extension of, you know, above and beyond that. But actually I've talked about it with a couple of my contractors, and they seemed actually interested in joining and, you know, helping out, just also for them to learn the new technologies and, to do something a little bit different outside of WordPress. So it's been cool to hear them, you know, voice interest in it.
Yeah, definitely. It's definitely nice if you get some buy-in from people you're asking to help you work with that. Or I guess in your case, I don't even know if you'll definitely ask them, but just if you had to.
Yeah.
You want people to actually like the thing and not hate it.
Yeah, so. Yeah, it's true. So the phase I'm entering is what I'm calling build season. So there it is. It's build season. And I'm using the like hip, cool, actually I'm probably too old to use it this way, but I don't care. Season as an SZN. So it's like build SZN.com. So buildseason.com. And everybody's going to spell out season and not find it. But that's okay.
You should buy both.
I probably should buy both.
Another domain.
Yeah. See, that's progress. Buying domains is progress on your project, isn't it?
Absolutely. Sure. Yes. All the domains you can buy.
So, So yeah, you were asking me like, what is build season? So build season is 2 months of just focused energy toward getting the skills to build a SaaS, to build a, to found a company, to build a project. And so I think that I don't care. And I think I mentioned before, I don't care if it fails. I don't care, you know, what failure will be not doing it. And that's what I've already had for the past several years. So it's just not doing anything extra outside of my comfort zone. So really success is like just getting through it. And even if like the app doesn't work or I don't launch it, or I hit so many roadblocks that I get frustrated, at least I'll know and I'll have that effort behind me. Because I feel like I have to make a lot of mistakes in order to hit a lot of successes.
I've had a similar thought in terms of app ideas that I have, and like, because I always throw them away thinking they're not good enough. But very recently I've been thinking about, I should really just try one out, because even if it fails, the experience of doing it is very important. Because yeah. So far, all I've done are info products, which is kind of a different thing in terms of marketing and how you think about your product than like a SaaS. So I've been really thinking about like, oh, it might even be a good idea to like go out there and fail at a thing, or, you know, worse than failing, than not releasing it or whatever, or no one buying is like a few people buying. And then you have this app where you're making like $200 a month and it's worthless.
But yeah, there's got to be a term for that, but that does sound horrible.
Right. But I feel like even that's kind of a good experience, because just like you said, you learn a lot about that, just like by being introspective on what you think you could have done better, or like how to figure out if a market you want to go into is like the correct market, or if there is a market there.
Yeah.
That kind of thing is the experience you get.
Mm-hmm. And I think this started with me. I think I spent a weekend looking on like Flippa and a couple other sites for businesses to buy. Cause I'm like, okay, I want to start another business. And then I thought, you know, what if I just started an in-person business? Like, what if I just started like a landscaping business and I just hire some people and manage them? And then I
love that phase of that, like go to the physical world and do a thing.
Yeah. Do a thing in the, and then like build that up, because we talked about, there's a guy in the WordPress space who has like a bunch of WordPress companies, but also he has like, he owns gas stations. I mean, it's like he's totally diversified into a bunch of different stuff. And so that's really appealing, like the thought of that. Like if my WordPress agent, my WooCommerce agency goes away because WooCommerce does something dumb and Shopify totally kills them, then I have no diversification. Then I have, you know, not a lot of income after that. So diversifying sounds great. Like, but then I thought, I don't really like leaving my house, and digital is really awesome. And there's a lot of opportunity in digital other than just, you know, in-person stuff. So
yeah, the upside is way higher.
So I looked at a bunch of, I looked at some iOS apps that were for sale. I found some schemes there where like a company that does an ad network for iOS apps, like we'll build an app and get it to like $1,000 or $3,000 total revenue, close to $1,000 a month, and then sell it. So like someone like me would come and buy it, but then most of its revenue comes through their ad network. So they're really just building a bunch of users for themselves. And the game that they built is kind of lame. So it's probably not going to do really great, afterwards, unless it's totally revamped. But, so I sort of stepped away from the buying an app or buying an existing website to, you know, I can build things. You know, I have development skills. I can build something. And then I didn't want to get stuck on an idea. So that's where I came to, you know what, I'm just going to copy somebody. Like ConvertKit, who's one of my clients, they're not the first email marketing platform, right? Like there have been a lot, but they found a lot of success by doing it, their version of it. So
like, I like copying a lot, because you know there's a market there in theory. This is all in theory, right? Because it's not like I have some friggin' app that I've made and sold or anything like that.
Right.
But I do believe that shows that there's a marketplace for it, especially if there's like even a crowded marketplace that still shows there's a lot of demand for that. So that's like, if you can find a niche within that, that sounds really good.
Yeah. So Rob Walling's talked about that a lot, where like, you know, they're, or even the Tropical MBA guys have talked about the
right.
Rip, pivot, and jam. Is that their phrase for it?
Yeah, that sounds exactly
so,
right.
So yeah, so just, you know, I know there's a market for the one app idea that I'm thinking about, and yes, I bought a domain for it, but we're not going to talk about that yet. You know, there's it's definitely a rip and a pivot, but it's also, it's very, very similar to the original one that I know people have already paid for. So
yeah. And then did you see any similar apps on like Flippa or FE International or anything like that? I like to do that to see what they sell for, just out of curiosity too, or kind of like what kind of revenue they have.
No, I haven't, you know, because I was looking in the, I was looking in the sub $20,000 range. So I wasn't looking in the like 100K or higher range for, you know, businesses that probably had more of a base customer base and MRR. Because I think I had looked, like, Shopify has a marketplace for e-commerce sites. And I had looked at that, like, I think a year ago, and they had this one site that I really liked. It was a inflatable camping chair thing. It looked ridiculous, but it looked like a lot of fun. And it was like, they were just selling it for like 10 grand or something. And I thought that's where I sort of got the idea of just buying something. But I don't know what an app like this would sell for. But the idea would be build it in such a way that it can be, it's an asset and it could be sold.
Right on. That sounds good. I like the idea of building something to sell, not because my goal is to be like VC funded and sell or anything like that, but I do like the ability of having an avenue to bail out if it's like not working out for my lifestyle, or, you know, if it's not making enough money for all the amount of work you put into it.
Right. Totally. And I might get, you know, it might succeed and I might stay interested with it, or it might not. And whatever I put into it will have some value. If there are any customers paying for it, it will have some value to someone. So, you know, even if I, even if it's just sort of handed off to somebody else who wants to take it and run with it, then that's a success.
Right on. I like it.
So yeah, so build season is upon us. And I like, I like clean numbers, you know, like New Year's, January 1st or the start of a quarter. So
yeah.
November 1st is tomorrow. So probably publish this tomorrow, and I'll probably like do an announcement, blog post too, now that,
cool.
And we'll talk about it. And so buildseason.com is just going to be a progress journal of what defining the product, building it, shoring up any development skills that I'm lacking. Like, I really need to work on some of my Laravel experience and some of my Vue experience, and then, you know, maybe some choices to be made on the app for other things, you know, hosting or infrastructure, stuff like that. So just documenting it and doing it in public. So sort of like the people in your pool.
I couldn't believe it. There are so many wild parties because like there's so many. San Antonio, of course, is a military city, so there's a lot of young people going in and out, and they don't care if they're living there for a month. They don't care if they're breaking pool rules about staying up and being loud at like 3 a.m.
No, they don't.
I was just looking up TLDs because I thought maybe there's like a .season or something for that domain, but no such luck.
Bummer, yes.
There's .museum in terms of long TLDs.
Yeah, that's true. Well, we'll see if it sticks. And I just thought, I like the name. Build SZN. I like the hashtag. I like the silly shortening of season. And I showed it to my wife, and she's like, "Build Zen? What's that?" And I said, "I don't think you're the right demographic.
You're not the audience for this."
No. Sure. So, and I said that, but that's okay. That's okay. I think it'll come across to the people who need to hear it. So,
I like Build Zen. ZEN.
Yeah, but I'm not.
That's a different feel. That's a different kind of like.
Yeah.
Thing.
I am not Zen. I am
currently not Zen.
I have too many kids to be Zen. Yeah. You could probably be Zen with kids, but I don't know how to.
The way to be Zen with kids is to pretend you don't have them by having a wife that takes on a huge bulk of the burden.
Or you pull a British royal family and you just have nannies raise them and just show up.
Yes, but there is that
they
too.
They just show up for like official photos.
Jeez.
Like, hey, you're my kid. Dang, you've grown. All right, let's do this.
Wow, you've gotten big.
Man. Oh, that's awesome. So yeah, mm-hmm. So cool. Do you have anything, any updates on MySQL TV?
I think I do. My SQL backups, I'm like 20-something videos into it, which might have been the same as my last update. I don't remember. But the fun part here is through you, and thank you for the referral, someone has edited the videos for me, and she's done a great job. So I really love not spending that time. Like, the trade-off for money for the edit, video editing time is just, like, well worth the cash to me.
Yes, totally. Like, having a workflow for that's going to be awesome.
Yeah, exactly. So the way I end up recording these is I have like spurts where I do just do a ton of them and get them done. And then I have some time where I have to prepare for the next spurt and then also find the time. So I'm just doing them in like two or three different sets with this person. So I have the first phase done of 20 videos, and there'll probably be like, I don't really know how many videos. There could be like 60 videos, honestly, at the end, because the last part might get a little long, because I'll be, I think I'm going to be like working through building a little bit of an app to do some of the automation portions of it. Yeah, that part is really nice. And then the other thing I did is I set up an email drip thing, and nothing extensive. I think just two emails. The first is just like a welcome to the course thing. Actually, it might even be one email. And then I asked people the question of what their current backup strategy is. And if they respond to me, I follow up with a response I have just to see if they've had to restore from a backup and how it went and like what kind of issues they have. So there's some interesting stuff coming back from that.
That's cool.
In terms of tools people use, I've learned some new ones that I've never heard of. You know, what kind of people have no backup strategy or the backup strategy. There's like most people are just doing their cron tasks. Of that, a good portion of people are sending those backups offsite to like S3 or something. And the course covers that and also kind of like streaming that stuff. So you don't even have to make a file in the server. And then some other ways to do stuff to avoid, you know, getting around disk drive size issues. So all in all, good feedback. It's good to know kind of like what people are doing and what I should concentrate on in the course. And then also just learning about tools that people are using that kind of automates all that stuff for you.
That's awesome. Or
I don't know about all the stuff. They all have varying degrees of automation, but it's like a lot of them boil down to just like doing a MySQL dump and saving it somewhere.
Yeah, that's pretty much all I've ever done. So
right,
I'm looking
exactly.
forward to seeing it.
And then
it.
Like, I think one or two people have responding and saying they actually test their backups in any kind of refined process.
Nice.
A lot of people test their backups in terms of like putting that data into a staging environment. And that's actually a fair test because you know your backups are working if your thing is going to work when you re-import it to a new database. So, there's some interesting stuff out of that.
That actually came up on a client call this week where I asked them about their backups and they're on an AWS server and they're like, well, the mm-hmm. RDS instance gets backed up and we have 7 days of backups. And I said, oh, cool. Which was
yep.
adequate, I guess. But then I said, have you ever tested the backups? And they're like, oh, no, we haven't. So,
right.
So it's one of the things we're going to help them out with is sort of a disaster recovery scenario of, cool. you know, fixing
yeah,
stuff
like
up.
That. RDS, I think, is solid. I think the thing that people will get surprised about is how long it takes to restore a database. Because any sizable database could take like hours potentially. So like that's a lot of downtime. Mm-hmm. So part of the disaster recovery might be like having a read replica available. Even you're obviously paying for it, but that'll get you up and running a lot quicker. Like promoting that replica to the master will get you up and running a lot quicker than restoring. The restore process is good if like someone deletes something, you restore to a new instance and then grab the data you need and copy it to the other database, that kind of thing.
That's good to know. Yeah. And most sites probably haven't gone through that process. And so they'd be,
yeah, exactly. They right. Might... It's like a total theoretical what if,
totally,
but like
yeah.
when it comes up, when push comes to shove and something happens, it's good to know the process ahead of time because you've done it before.
Yeah, that's true.
That's a huge stress reliever. And then you have an idea of how much time it'll take too.
Mm-hmm. That would definitely help. Cool. And I think that's probably on the periphery of topics that a small company site would want to be thinking about. You know, they're thinking about a total other things, but it's really important for business continuity, for, you know, keeping your site going.
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, a lot of people are losing money when their site's down. Not everyone, of course. Like a lot of people just have personal sites and all that kind of stuff. Or a lot of people have an IT department at work and it's kind of IT's problem. But my audience is mostly developers. So some of them are just like, I don't know, the IT department takes care of that.
Interesting. Where are those DevOps spirits? They're somewhere over there. We keep them locked away underground.
Yeah. I don't know what they do, but they do stuff.
Nice. Well, cool. Well, I think that's a good episode for this week, and we'll let people get back to doing whatever they're going to be doing in public, whether that be building or other fun tasks, activities. Mm-hmm. So where can people find you online?
All right. At Fideliper on Twitter. My latest course is MySQLBackups.tv, and serviceforhackers.com is where you can see all my free, mostly free, service for programmers stuff and things.
Awesome.
No porn. No, I'm sorry.
Maybe
lots of videos. No porn.
Wrong kind of videos. And I am at GrowDev on Twitter, Instagram. I shut down the Instagram because I just didn't have time to keep it up and didn't know what I want to do with it. So it's
good.
It's private right now, but you can go. You can go look at it right and just see nothing and waste your time. No, GrowDev on Twitter, and now at buildseason.com, BuildSzn.com, where I'm going to be journaling my journey of building a SaaS. So yeah, it should be fun.
Cool. I like it. We can become a Build Your SaaS podcast, which I think is the exact name of Justin Jackson's podcast, right?
Yeah, I think it is.
So it's not that podcast. It's a podcast wherein people are building things.
I've been listening. Okay, this podcast, our episode's going to go a little bit longer because I have been listening to that podcast and I have opinions about it.
Nice, okay.
It's total. I think you and I are very well paired and very well matched in that we both, we're sort of at the same level of amount of talking, I think, and sort of experience mm-hmm. and stuff.
Right.
Justin talks so much on his podcast, his host, and then he'll sort of be like, well, what do you think? And then the guy's like, yeah, that's great. And then Justin continues. So I'm
right.
Like, it's just, they just.
I even forget the co-host name. Is it John who is doing the app with him?
It doesn't matter. We know.
I just listened to it earlier today, like an hour ago.
He never gets a word in edgewise. Like, I'm like, I don't know.
Well, it's not even, it's just, I think it's just his personality too. So it's not like Justin is like, you know, cause Justin's very outgoing and then you have like and John's like a little more introverted. So
yeah, we can call him John. So we can call him Jeff. It really doesn't matter.
I hope it's John.
It doesn't matter. He's co-host okay. guy for Justin, but yeah. And I think Justin's done his Mega Maker podcast solo for so long. Maybe he forgot that he has a co-host, but that's my mm-hmm. opinion. I don't know. I have been enjoying it. Justin and Jeff, if you're all listening, I do like your podcast.
It's good. And Justin, even says, like, I know people have said I talk too much on this podcast. So like, I don't know. You know, it is what it is.
There you go. Okay. So mine is not a solo opinion then. Okay.
Right. Not a solo opinion.
Okay. Cool. So yeah, we're trying to wrap things up. So I am at GrowDev on Twitter, and please check out Build Season, and we'll see how that goes. So awesome.
All right.
We'll see y'all next week.
See you later.